Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A bittersweet Sunday. One team with a little redemption and the other one said goodbye for the first time in 10 years, not making the playoffs. It is a tough one for our Astros and a great one for, and I don't know, it was Tennessee, Lance, but the way that they played, the way that CJ bounced back early on, it looked like, oh man, CJ's still CJ. He missed a short crossing route to Christian Kirk, and then he missed Dalton Schultz, yep, who had a touchdown. He was a step behind. And then after he hit Nico with second and 33, it was like a change. He was like a changed man.
Yeah, he really was, you know, that happens sometimes where he clicks at different times. We saw it in the Chargers playoff game where he had one, you know, kind of goofy snap. Either he wasn't ready for it. Well, he clearly wasn't ready for it, and the ball bounced off of him, and it looked like it was going to be a safety, and he turned something out of, you know, nothing into something. And then for the rest of the game, he was like a completely different player. And I almost, because the first half, really honestly, they had no touchdowns in the first half. The first half wasn't great at all.
No.
This wasn't good. In fact, it was bad. It was gross. The first half was as bad as that Jacksonville game.
No.
And then the second half was completely different. It was completely different offensively. Now, I tell you, the Titans are, Cam Ward's not very good at this particular juncture, and the Texans made him look even worse because Texas defense were all over him. Latham wasn't there, his starting right tackle, which obviously hurt him against that, the Texans.
They're not good all over
the place. They're not good. They're not good. Callahan, they got a brand new head coach, brand new general manager, and people are already pissed off about that, too. Well, I don't know what you're going to do. I guess you can be one and done with Callahan. They took play-calling duties away from him, but I thought the other interesting factor was that D'Amico took play-calling duties away from himself.
Yeah.
And Matt Burke is the new play-caller defensively, and D'Amico wants to free himself up so he can kind of oversee the whole team. And this is a direct, I mean, like it or not, and we'll get into what came out on Friday. This is a direct result of the struggles of offense and Nick Caley. And D'Amico wants to have himself available for all facets of the game, including offense, so that he can hear, not that he's going to call plays or anything, but he wants to know what's going on because it's not been good.
It's a good move. And Matt Burke proved that he can do it. But you know what I learned this weekend? And we're going to play, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? I learned that the Texans, in their history, only had two shutouts. This was the third in team history.
Third in team history. Okay. I didn't know that either. I guess I just learned that on Monday.
You just learned that on... That's incredible, isn't it? I guess you got...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it. I feel like you could get one every 3 years, maybe.
Yeah. I mean,
and they've been doing this, you know, figured... if you had told me, I would have said, I don't know, five.
I would have Six thought they had guess. Three just against Tennessee, or the last one was Tennessee. I guess it was when Andre was beating the snot out of.
That was a shutout. That was the last one.
Yeah, I think so. 2010. Wow. He said, yeah, and that's when he was beating this Cortland
Finnegan.
Mm-hmm. Finnegan, yeah,
the Irishman.
Yeah, the Irishman Finnegan.
Cortland Finnegan.
Speaking of the Irishman, Rory.
What a weekend it was.
What a great comeback. But we got a lot to talk about this morning. Let's start. Of course, the Texans looking good is good, right? All right.
They got their first win against a team that has no wins. So it is what it is. We'll get a better look next week because the Ravens are in desperation mode. They're 1-3. Lamar Jackson hurts his they get wiped out by the Chiefs. Lamar Jackson goes out with a hamstring injury. Texans unlikely to face Lamar Jackson next week.
That's a good thing.
Unlikely to face Lamar Jackson. Yeah, although he didn't play very well yesterday. But the Ravens are in a little bit of disarray. Their secondary is – their defense is bad, but our offense is not good. So it's going to be an interesting matchup there. But Lamar Jackson, you hurt a hamstring and you're not coming back. So he left the game with a hamstring injury. I doubt the Texans will see him. This is a big opportunity for the Texans.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson out, is there a way that they get one next week and go to 2-3? They need to. It was a real back-and-forth affair until A.D. Mitchell decided to single-handedly lose the game for the Colts in one of the wildest. I've never seen one player responsible for 14 lost points in my life, but I did with A.D. Mitchell. As Longhorn fans will tell you, former Georgia Bulldog A.D. Mitchell. They're trying to distance themselves.
They're distancing themselves, yeah.
And then Jacksonville went in and got a good win. Those two teams are both 3-1. Like, you know, you really – we've just kind of chalked this game up as a loss, but if Lamar doesn't play and the way the Ravens' defense is, I'm like – and the way the Texans' defense is, I'm thinking, well, I don't know. Maybe the Texans have a shot here.
Well, if Lamar doesn't play, they got a shot.
And, I mean, who's had a hamstring injury that's bad enough you come out of the game that you're ready the next week?
Yeah.
And you think they want to risk it against a 1-3 Texans?
No, it took Isak Paredes like 6 months.
I know.
Right? Of course, he tore it off the bone. But
yeah,
we'll
not
see.
Sure Lamar did
hopefully, this is just a hope. I don't want to see. I just want to see him gone next week.
Yeah,
I don't
for
care
sure.
if he
for
plays
sure.
again after that.
Yeah.
I don't really care, but we don't want to see him. But so the defense. Dell, let's get to D'Amico talking about. Yeah, and I don't know that this was a direct shot at C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I'm not sure. But it sure did seem like a direct shot. Again, Matt Burke called a great defense. The guys, you know, they didn't give up any big plays, which is something that the Texans do. It's just what they do. But not yesterday. And D'Amico was pretty happy with the way that they played defensively.
We'll get it in 1 second.
Yeah, he's getting it. Yeah. Listen. I don't know that it's a direct shot at C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but apparently everybody was in the right spots.
Apparently everyone also was happy he's gone.
Yeah.
A lot of the people who matter most. I know C.J. said he liked them or whatever, and I think there's some people who don't want to just, you know, obliterate him, but I don't think there's any love lost for – I don't think there's anyone crying over the departure of Gardner-Johnson. I mean, the guy who's replacing him is considered to be the glue guy from a football character stand, MJ Stewart. D'Amico's even come out and said this in camp. I remember he was asked about him. He said, you know, he's a guy that's in there that he brings things up to the coaches. He sees this, he sees that. Like, he's like another coach on the field.
Well,
and them having him is a complete opposite of Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, maybe not spectacular. Maybe not going to make the, you know, well, C.J. Gardner-Johnson takes a lot of risks, doesn't he? I mean, he'll bite on 10-yard outs. Maybe he'll get a pick, but he'll also get beat. He'll also get beat deep because he's not in the right spot. So having a guy that's just going to do what he's supposed to do, then, you know what? I guess that's a godsend.
We're having an issue. We'll try to get all the sound on the next.
Yeah, we got all. We got all kinds of sound that we're going to hear.
Yeah, including something. I've referenced this before, but we're going to wait until the next segment. Diana Russini was on, I think it was, whose show was that?
She was on with
Dan Lebatard.
Lebatard.
And she made a reference about the Texans having some problems behind the scenes and information.
Yeah, but she
coming
only
out.
Made a reference. We'll see if she
it
comes
was
up
a,
anything.
It, yeah, I mean, she made a reference. It was pretty.
It was pretty vague.
It was vague, but at the same time, it was, what's the phrase? Not caustic. What's the phrase I'm looking for? It was a little bit like, huh, wonder what she's referring to. And so I dug around a little bit on it. And I do have some stuff on the next segment that I'm gonna share with you. It's worth the conversation. I don't want it to dominate, because the Texans got a win, and it was a good playoff win, and I don't want to be, you know, wet blanket guy. But if they lose next week to the Ravens and start off 1-4, all these conversations will pop back up anyway. So it's I want the Texans and the people who succeeded to have a good week. It is a conversation that actually, you know, that clip of Diana Russini saying there's issues with the Texans, some issues behind the scenes. I had three people from the NFL text me, and well, one from NFL Network text me and say, "Hey, what's this about?" Or they had their own feelings about what this was about. So this was something that picked up a lot of steam actually around the league because, you know, the Texans were one of the best. They were the favorite to win the division, and Diana Russini is making comments that there's some problems in Texans land, you know, beyond just the record. And so she referenced that. So we will, in the next segment, we will get to that. Texans are the Houston Astros. I'm really interested. Their season's over. They were eliminated officially on Saturday when the Rangers were not able to beat Cleveland Rangers. Just a terrible bottom of the night. Just terrible.
Well, Friday night was just a disaster. I went to the game.
Oh, the Astros losing. Yeah.
Friday night lost. They lost. They were 3-0. And Mike Trout beat them with two homers. That was just a disaster that they couldn't score more. They should have had way more against Hendricks. It was just that was the season in a nutshell, that the offense just shut down. Luckily they stole home. You know, they got a run home that way, manufactured a run. And then the Angels chipped away. You lose. That's the season in a nutshell. You lose games that you shouldn't lose to teams that you shouldn't be losing to, and you did nothing. Your offense shut down. Your pitching was okay, which the pitching has been okay all season long. I mean, the stat that they have, that Brian McTaggart put out a bunch of stats. Their record when they score two or less, three or less, is just ridiculous. I mean, and how often they did that.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful. It was awful, and they did it again. It just encapsulated that Friday night game encapsulated their entire season, and it's just a shame that this team here, to scoring four more runs, they were 64-15. They didn't, more than half the game, they scored three or fewer. More than half the games, 83 times, they scored three or fewer runs, and they were 23-60 in those games. That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's the offense. You score three or fewer runs, and when you score four, you're 64-15.
Right. Let's do this. Let's break, because we got a lot to get to. I want to talk about, I've got a lot of stuff with the Astros I want to get to, and what happens now? What happens now? Because after winning World Series seasons, there were changes. What happens now with Jim Crane and the Houston Astros? We'll get to that. And got a lot with the Texans. I will get to. We'll have Diana Russini's comments, and then I've got some thoughts and some minor intel on that just for us to consider. It was a crazy weekend. A lot of upsets in college football. Typically, we get a little deeper in college football on Tuesdays, but we will probably need to get into that. And then what a wild game last night with the Packers and Green Bay. Holy crap. I mean, you want to talk about bad defense. No one could stop anyone at all the Dallas Cowboys had about 2.5 quarters where it was unstoppable football.
And by the way, big ups to David, who played beat the Warehouse Live guy, and he did it. He beat the Warehouse Live guy.
Okay, good.
So he's going to the game with the limo ride. You got to keep on listening so that you can play this week.
Listen up in the 8 o'clock hour, because I'm giving away an autographed Jeremy Pena baseball from Taqueria Saranda.
So oh, nice!
We
nice.
Got one of those to give away in the 8 o'clock.
Maybe hour. You could give away a ring from Zadik.
Well, we're not. I could ask, but I would probably rig it so that I won the ring somehow, and that would be illegal. So we better just not do the whole. We probably better not do that, because I just worried I'd get myself in trouble. I will tell you this though, Zadik Jewelers has unbelievable rings. They have unbelievable diamond pendants. They have unbelievable watches. But most importantly, they have, for right now, unbelievable watches. And I say that because they have Watchtoberfest coming up. And that is going to be this Saturday, this Friday and Saturday. This Friday and Saturday is going to be Watchtoberfest. And it's really, really cool. They're very excited about it. Listen to this. They're going to have, on Saturday, they're going to have coffee, cars, collectors, and canines. They've got Lamborghinis, McLarens, rare exotic cars curated by Indigo Auto Group. Plus, they'll have dogs there for from Katie's foster fam that you can adopt. You'll find your forever companion there if you choose. You can raise a glass with Parish Brewing while DJ Anarchy spins live as you explore the latest timepiece debuts from over 25 luxury brands. This is going to be an event. They are creating an event, and it goes on October 3rd and 4th. So make sure that you get out there. Starts at 10 a.m. And Friday and Saturday is going to be a party at Zadig Jewelers. So get over there, see cool cars, see your puppies, drink, have some drinks, some light bites, and it's going to be, and of course, brand new releases on watches that you've never seen before that are going to be incredible. All at Zadig Jewelers. They're at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. For more information, just go to Zadig.com.
ESPN 97.5. We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, let's get some Texans in. We got Astros to talk. We got all kinds of stuff. But let's hear from D'Amico about the defense. Told you we were talking about C.J. Gardner-Johnson and him not being in the right spots, being cut. Here's D'Amico on the defense and the reason that they had a shutout, no big plays yesterday.
What I've been trying to tell them. No, it's just guys just being in the right spot, right? No grenades. I caught no grenades going off in the back. Nobody's running free. Everybody was disciplined. They were where they're supposed to be. Yeah, they're going to make some plays. Good team. And Cam, he got out, threw the ball back across field like we knew he could do. He made a nice play, but guys, they stayed with it. We kept pressing our D-line, did a great job. We did a really good job in the run game, right? And then our D-line really caused havoc in the passing game. The guys covered really well today.
They did a nice job. How about Stingley? He loves to be on the field so much. He played despite the oblique. And, you know, and got a pick, too, on top of it. A ball that was poorly thrown, another poorly thrown. Cam Ward has a lot to do. Cam Ward's going to be fine, I think. He's going to be okay. He doesn't have playmakers. He doesn't have an offensive line. They don't have much of a running game.
They're bad.
They're bad.
I mean,
they're really
Titans
bad.
Are bad, man. There's a lot of work to do over there.
Yep.
I don't know
if
Cam's going to be good. I know that he has no chance right now.
Yeah.
I do know that.
Did you hear his soundbite?
Who, Cam's?
Yeah. It was interesting.
I'm trying to think if I heard. I don't think I did.
Okay.
I've only heard Texans. I don't listen to what losers have to say, John.
Well, you've been listening to the Texans the last few weeks.
That's a good point.
Yeah. But you cleaned it up? Did you clean it up or you have to? Oh, he's got to clean it up. Yeah, he dropped some ugly words. He dropped an F-bomb on the team. So while Dell is cleaning that up, you know, the Texans cleaned it up. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they're going to be able to take care of the Ravens. The Ravens are bad defensively. They're bad. I mean, this is not the same Ravens team now. This is not.
No. I mean, no, they're legitimately terrible on defense right
now.
Yeah. I mean, teams are gashing them. And gashing their secondary. It's bad.
It's bad. And you know what? They can't stop anybody. They made the Chiefs look like an offense yesterday. And the Chiefs have been crap. The Chiefs have been bad offensively. And they made them look great yesterday.
Right.
Like, oh, they're back. No, they just played the Ravens. You know,
The Ravens are the get-well game?
Yeah. No, honestly, they have got the Texans got to take advantage of how bad they are. CJ's got to take advantage. You know, CJ was interesting. He goes, on the play to Higgins, he said, well, you know, I called that. I'm the OC. He did take credit for it.
Yeah.
He said, you know, I saw something that I liked, and I called it, and it worked, and it was great. And he said, you know, a little bit, you know, it's not going to work all the time, whatever, but it worked that time. And he grabbed some of the credit, and that's just fine. I thought this was how it was going to be anyway, that CJ could see something and CJ would be able to. You know, who was it on the call? Beth Mowins. Who was the the color commentator? Offensive lineman. Anyway.
Oh, it was Ross Tucker.
Ross Tucker.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of Ross Tucker these days.
Yeah, and Beth Mowen, we get that. That means that just means
I don't understand what we're doing. So this is an interesting play here that the Texans are running. If you look at what they're doing with their tackles and their guards, this is a lot of stuff going on here for the Texans.
He mentioned, he said, I don't know if CJ's, because they had a running play that just went nowhere, and he went, I don't know if CJ's able to call, you know, check out of these things, but he should have.
Yeah.
He certainly should have right here.
Yeah.
You know, checked out of that, but maybe he wasn't. I don't know.
I think he can. I think he can too. I think he can, and that's part of what CJ's still trying to learn, that, you know, I think CJ thinks he knows ball at an elite level, and he doesn't. Like most quarterbacks in the league, unless they've been around for a long time, they don't know ball at an elite level as it pertains to NFL fronts and defenses. They're all learning, and they get better and better and better. And CJ's still learning, but he should know enough to get out of certain plays if he has that ability. And this is supposed to be the offense that allows him to get out of stuff.
Well,
and allows him to take a bigger, you know, bigger part in it.
Even great offenses have plays that don't work.
Right.
Even great offense, you know?
Well, my dad was with Ben Roethlisberger, and Ben would check. Like, Ben was notorious for not being able to check into he just wasn't good at checking into the right things. He would check into, and there was some thought by some coaches, he was checking into intentionally running plays that weren't going to work, so he could say, see, we can't run the ball. We just need to throw it all
so
time.
Let's throw.
There were thoughts by, not my dad, but there were thoughts, and this is after my dad was gone. One of the coaches said, we're pretty sure he's checking into the wrong play on purpose. Either that or he has literally no knowledge of. So there are quarterbacks who just don't, you know, who just don't see stuff. But CJ obviously made a good call. He checked into something that worked well because he saw it. And I think CJ does have some football intelligence for sure. So I think it'll benefit him. I still didn't have, you know, one game's not going to answer, especially one half's not going to answer anything, but it was sure nice. About, we have not spent any time talking about Woody Marks. Yeah. Woody Marks, too, he had over 50 yards receiving, was solid on the ground, showed the wiggle, scored two touchdowns. You know, he's putting together his Damian Pierce rookie year right now. Damian Pierce, also a fourth-round pick, who ended up having a really strong rookie year. We're just hoping this lasts longer than that one year run by Damian Pierce, hoping for a lot more. But Woody Marks, John, looked like, I think the Texans figured this out. I was listening to some of Vandermeer. I had to take my daughter somewhere, so I was listening to Mark and Andre. And he said that, you know, you could hear Andre talking about the fact that he said, you know, one of the things they really needed to do was get Marks more involved today. He needed to get a bigger you get the feeling Andre had some intel already. Well, and he knew what was going to happen this game, that this is going to be a Woody Marks game.
Listen, if you watched last week and if you've been watching this season, I don't know that it's, you know, that you had to have any intel.
He knew what the Texans were going to do is what I'm saying.
He's looked the best out of all in pass pro, in running the ball. I mean, we talked about it last week. I want to see more Woody Marks.
I've been wanting 100%. To see.
I mean, because, you know, Nick Chubb has had a great career. He doesn't have that same burst.
No.
He's not that same guy.
No, he'll get you some tough yards. He knows where Woody will still make some mistakes in terms of where he goes with the football and some cuts, just some small things where Nick Chubb knows what he's doing with it. But you can't, like, there's just no way around elusiveness. There's no way around burst. You either have those things or you don't. And Nick Chubb is just, you know, on the downside of that, and Woody Marks has it.
He absolutely does. He absolutely does.
And he can really catch the ball. Like, he is a good third down. Nick Chubb can Nick Chubb's really good in pass pro, too. Well, so it's nice to have two of them.
Wait a minute. There was an early sack that Nick Chubb was awful.
Right.
I think that opened the door for Woody.
Well, they were on top of CJ in a second.
Well, no, not that one. There was one early where Nick Chubb, there was a linebacker blitzing, and Nick kind of just went the wrong way. And he just went right around Nick Chubb and sacked CJ. The one by Jeffrey Simmons was just he was in the backfield before CJ was. Mm-hmm. This one was early on. It was a sack by I forget which linebacker it was, but it was like what a horrible block by Nick Chubb, and it opened the door for Woody Marks.
I wonder
to
if that's
be
one
on
of the
field
yeah,
a lot
that's
more.
Interesting. I wonder if that's one of the things that because I do think D'Amico's holding people accountable. I give you an example. Did you know Laken Tomlinson started at left guard and only played 20% of the snaps? Juice Scruggs played 80% of the snaps yesterday. Henry To'oto'o played 40. He started. He played 48% of the snaps, but E.J. Speed played 52, and that's another guy that I've been waiting to see. Like, E.J. Speed's got to play more. Woody Marks has to play more, and they're finally doing it. These two guys are going to be you got to get some guys with some juice out there. And both of those guys have more juice. And I don't think it's going to be a surprise that both of them, I think EJ Speed will play more moving forward. He's just a better playmaker. He has more athletic ability. And then Woody Marks has more athletic ability. You got to start getting these guys who are physical matches and mismatches out on the, or athletic, I don't know about mismatches, but athletic matches to what the other teams are doing. You have to. You can't have Nick Chubb's not, athletically, he's a minus. Yeah. Henry To'oto'o is kind of a minus as an athlete. He's smart and he does all that stuff. Like he's a solid, very average starter. You need somebody who can be more disruptive, and that's what you know, and that's what EJ Speed can do. So I think it's a good sign that the Texans are headed in some different directions. And you know what? I like the fact that even though we gave him money, hey, if Laken Tomlinson's not playing well enough, he can sit on a bench. Good. Good. Don't try to cover your own ass by playing a guy who's not playing well. Let's get the best in there. Let's be true meritocracy. And that's what they're trying to do a little bit more of, I think. It feels like.
Yeah. Well, Juice was responsible for that Jeffrey Simmons.
Juice isn't great. Juice should not be a starter in the NFL.
So it was,
you know, that's going to be another position I have to look at again next year, John.
Another second round guard.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Texans have a history. Who was the?
They tried to draft one in the first. They tried to draft Donovan Jackson in the first, and it didn't work out.
Who was the Hawaiian?
Xavier Suafilo. He's not to be mentioned on the show anymore. Well, you already know that.
Well, there's another second rounder that just, and now Blake Fisher, another second rounder that can't get on the field. Juice Scruggs, another.
Well,
another
he got on the field.
Yeah, well, he gets on the field, but he's not good enough to start. But man, a couple of penalties by Titus. It didn't kill him, but in other games, those penalties that Titus had would be killers. The play I was referring to was when Barton sacked CJ, but Ladarius Sneed had an illegal contact down the field, and so it negated that sack that Nick Chubb just blew the block, just awful. It was just awful. You got to go take a look at it.
I will.
All 22.
Pulling it all right now.
All right. It's 7:31 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're working on that sound. We're going to try to get it all for you here. We also got What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence coming up in 15 minutes. Want you to get in. You learned something this weekend. You could be about baseball. It could be about football. It could be about your wife. It could be about your girlfriend. It could be about your it could be about anything. Your kids. You learned something this weekend, and you get one sentence to tell us what that was coming up in 15 minutes. So get yours ready. John Daspit probably learned something this weekend, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, he usually does. Heard from him a couple times. He is, like all of us, big sports fan. And so when he's not doing his work for his law firm, which is, he's always doing that. But once he's done, he takes his time to listen to the show and he catches up on all the sports stuff. But, you know, his number one focus and primary focus is his wife and his two babies and all of you. And everyone is he treats everyone like everyone who is who has signed up with Daspit Law Firm. He treats them like a family member that he wants to protect and do what's best for them. You know, like they're the most important thing in the world, because that's really what you deserve. You deserve to have somebody working for you when you've been injured due to someone else's negligence that is going to really, you know, be out there making sure that you are taken care of, that you're not taken advantage of by a law a legal team for the insurance company. And that's what that team is trying to do. They're trying to maximize their profits. So they're obviously going to try to get rid of some of the payment structure for you. And John Daspit says, no, we're going to enforce it. We're going to make sure all the bills are paid. We're going to make sure all the time missed from work due to, you know, your client's negligence is accounted for. Short-term, long-term, for some people, they'll never work again because of the physical pain and the issues that they suffered due to whatever the accident was. And John Daspit wants to get that accounted for. And, of course, pain and suffering, too, needs to be accounted for. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, they passionately pursue justice for the injured, and they will fight for you. 713 call now. That's 713 call now, or go to DaspitLaw.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, by the way, I knew I was wrong. I blame Juice Scruggs for the Jeffrey Simmons the quickest sack in NFL history. Ed Ingram just stood up and looked to the right, and Jeffrey Simmons ran right by him.
Yeah, it was
right
a bust. I don't know what it was.
He's sitting right in front of him. I even texted you guys on it. I was like, "Are you kidding me? Jeffrey Simmons is right in front of you." And you look to the right instead of blocking the guy that's right in front of you. Right.
The great Ross Tucker said they were trying to wham block him, but he's just too quick for that. So don't try to do that anymore.
Okay. Wham. You know what I don't want my lineman to be? Like wham.
Well, no, like trap block.
Not the band.
Oh.
Trap block, not jitterbug. Not that.
No.
Tonight the sack feels so bad.
Right.
Nothing like that.
That's what I thought. Seemed like that was more appropriate.
Andrew Ridgely and George
anyone's
Michael.
Anyone's looking for George Michael to play guard for the Texans? No, I don't think that's what
Juice Scruggs is not
seemed
our
like
Andrew
George Ridgely. Michael might have done a better job than Ed Ingram did on that play. Anyway. So that was all. But
wake me up
before you go.
I think I see the sack you're talking about for he just whiffed it.
He just whiffed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick Chubb.
In the first quarter. You're talking about in the first quarter.
Yeah, it was in the first drive. I think it opened the door for Woody Marks. And did you see Woody's pancake block on the blitz?
Dude, I thought Woody would be a good third down back in the NFL. What's happening now, at least for now, is he's expanding the role beyond that to being, I think he's going to become primary ball carrier. I mean, I think you have to. I think he's running back one right now. He may not start, but he's going to get most of the carries. They'll start Chubb. That's fine. Whatever. But Woody Marks is going to get he's going to get more of the carries until Mixon comes back, if Mixon comes back. He's eligible to come back now, so the questions need to start. Hey, what's up with Joe Mixon? What are we doing with Joe Mixon? We're going to go slow. We care about Joe. We care about him as a person, and we care about his family and who he is as a man and what his life is going to be like. And you have to say that apparently because people got jumped on for not caring enough about him when it was weird in camp.
Ian
Rapoport said he's hurt. I think he's going to be hurt and out for a little while. Like, what? What? Who has news to us? What? And he's out forever.
I'm worried about Joe's mental health if he's not able to come back this week. Right. Is he going to be able to? Because he really.
We haven't heard one single thing about Joe Mixon.
Not one thing.
So I don't feel confident that he's going to make it back, to be honest with you.
Hey, Woody Marks is the guy now, and that's fine. That's just fine. All right, we got a...
Well, it's fine, but Joe Mixon's better than Woody Marks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he is.
The Woody-Joe Marks combination, you know, where Woody's playing on third downs is kind of a breath of, you know, is kind of a you know, give Joe Mixon a rest would be nice. I'd like that combination.
I'll tell you this. If Joe Mixon doesn't come back, there's nobody better in pass protection than Woody Marks right now. I mean, he has made play after play after play protecting CJ. He really has. Go look at the cut block that he had, and he upended the blitzer last game, and now this one, the pancake block, and he's doing a really nice job. Yep. For a rookie to be doing what he's doing in the passing game is really good. Really good. Who's the caller, Dell? Who we got? Charlie wants to get in here. Hey, Charlie.
Charlie, go ahead.
Hello?
Oh, what's up, Charlie?
Hey, Charlie Gilbert.
What the?
Charlie, what's going on?
I thought this was Charlie.
It's Gilbert.
We were told this was Charlie. The intern said this is Charlie's calling.
I get fooled into my nickname anyway.
There it is.
Oh, I didn't know your nickname was Charlie.
Yes, you did. He's used it before.
Why is your nickname Charlie?
Yeah. What do you want to say about the Texans? They did a good job of. I can't get the game yesterday.
You couldn't?
Why not?
The cable went out anyway.
Ah.
Oh no!
Well, you missed a good one. I mean, not the first. The first half wasn't great. The first half wasn't great, but. Yeah, I don't know where Charlie originates from, but Gilbert used it before as his nickname.
Oh, that's right.
He's tricked us before with Charlie. But, you missed. Right. The second half was a really good one, Gilbert. And, you know, Tennessee didn't score at all. They got shut out, and John told us it's only the third shutout in Texas history. You picked a bad day for your cable to go out.
Yeah, it was a great game, Gilbert.
Yeah, but I won't see no more cable in my nursing home no more. Oh, by the way.
Wait. You don't have cable in your nursing home?
The cable went out anyway. I can't get the game. All they did was a show, the pregame show.
No, that's not enough, Gilbert.
That's not good.
It's not going to be good enough.
So did you watch the Astros? You couldn't watch the Astros either.
Nope, I can't do that either. Nope.
Especially not now that they're not in the playoffs.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Charlie?
Well, I don't think he's going to make it to the playoff. Wait till next year anyway.
Yeah, we're going to wait till next year anyway. Yep.
Yeah, one more thing before I go anyway. Will, are you listening? You know, Will, come and see me. I want one of that bagel that's good.
Yeah. Will, go see.
We have it. For those who are wondering, we don't even know who Will is.
No.
Somebody named Will.
Will.
I know. I heard the name you said. It's just that we don't even know who this Will is. Somebody named Will brought you some food one time, or brought you something.
Yeah.
What did he bring you, Gilbert? A bagel?
Yeah, a bagel.
You like bagels, huh? A lot of cream cheese?
Yeah, I like bagel anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you like steak, too. Steak and potatoes with corn.
Yeah. Steak and french fries anyway. Yeah,
like corn and cob.
Corn and cob, yeah. Salt and pepper. Yeah. And Dr. Pepper, right?
And Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know your order. Yeah.
Will you come see me? Will you come see me, Lance?
Well, I gotta see Nicole. I don't know that Nicole is working, and she's not going to be able to come anymore. It would just be me.
Oh, we don't want that.
Yeah, that's what I'm... Well,
yeah. Well, Nicole's working now anyway.
Yes, so. That's right. We didn't get your permission, but she
Gilbert,
is.
Gilbert, why is your nickname Charlie?
It's just
my bus name anyway, Charlie.
That's your what name?
Bus name. What does that mean, bus name? Who
the
gave
bus, bus name.
Your that, oh, but, the bu- bus the bus drivers called you that?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, I know why.
Wow.
I wonder. That was a nickname in Vietnam. So.
Well, or.
And Gilbert is Chinese, by the way.
Yeah.
Or a certain detective.
Uh-huh.
It could have been that.
I want one more thing before I go.
But
I want to get to Nick's place on Christmas. See Chief Arena, you know.
Oh. I don't know that she's coming to Nick's
is
place.
Is that possible?
Would you even... Are you allowed
Nick's place.
To be at Nick's place?
Yeah. How are you going to get out of... How are you going to get out of there, Gilbert? You don't move around very well.
Yeah, but how about someone to pick me up and Take me older anyway. I'll use my walker.
How about someone pick me up?
Yeah.
I don't know. Wait, let's see how things go. We'll only in September still.
Yeah, we got
Late September.
Well,
you don't need to say
worry,
that, Dale.
Don't worry. This will be
September.
I know, because truck month's almost over.
Truck month's almost over.
He'll be remembering.
There'll be a new truck
reminding you time and time again before then.
Yep.
All right, Gilbert, we appreciate it. We got a break because we got, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Right now, you call in. You learned something this weekend. And it was impressed upon you enough so that you're calling in. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. What did you learn about Underdog this weekend, Lance?
Well, I learned that if you had higher in just about all the statistical categories in the Sunday night game, you're in good shape. Higher than 1.5 touchdowns for Jordan Love, that was a W. That was a good one. You know, you got Monday Night Football going on tonight. So what are they doing for Monday Night Football? What are some of the numbers for Underdog Fantasy? You have to pick higher or lower for the statistics that they offer you. So I'll give you an example. Bo Nix, higher than 248.5 passing yards against Cincinnati. Is that what you're going to go for? Are you going for J.K. Dobbins' rush yards, 64.5? Garrett Wilson's receiving yards, 61.5, 56.5 rush yards for Breece Hall. But here's the thing. When you watch these games, you can click on Breece Hall, and guess what? Oh, rush attempts, 14.5. Higher or lower? Receptions, 3.5 for Breece Hall. So inside of every player is a multitude of statistics, and you can manipulate them up and down. I can go Breece Hall and say, you know what? I think he's going to have more carries. I think he's going to have huge carry amount. I'm going to go 17.5. If you did that, you went higher than 17.5, the payout goes even higher. So if you go lower to 11.5 and you say, okay, I'm going to do 11.5 and I'm going to go higher. Okay, your payout's going to be less there, but you got a much better chance of winning. So you can manipulate the stats on these individual players and change your payout, either to a higher payout or a lower payout, but it's easier to achieve. This is what I'm talking about. There's a lot of different strategies you can use with Underdog Fantasy, but the only way you can use these strategies and make that money is to download the app, use promo code Lance. Download the app, use promo code Lance, and they are going to give you $100 of bonus cash when you make your first $5 play. That's available right now. Went from 50 to 100. Download it. Use promo code Lance. You are set to go with Underdog Fantasy. Play the games while you watch, and let's start for Monday Night Football tonight.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play/get_terms_DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
He made a nice play for God. They stayed with it. He kept pressing our D-line. Did a great job. We did a really good job in the run game.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Time to play. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? We got a full board, but as soon as somebody gets off, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I'll start it. I learned that the way that Bethpage Black fans treated Rory was kind of embarrassing.
Ah, yep. Well, we'll expound. Yep. It was really bad.
One sentence.
We'll expound. Yep, yeah.
Did you learn anything this weekend, Lance?
Ooh, I learned that I've got the perfect spot for Saturday college football games, and it is undefeated. It's 2-0.
It's more than one sentence. Yeah, you're just not good at
that's
this.
That's fine.
You're just not good at this.
Thank you. It was ellipses. Nah, ellipses.
No,
that's enough.
You stopped, and then it was 2-0. Dell, you learn anything?
I learned that Kirby Smart doesn't just have an Alabama problem. He has a Kalen DeBoer problem.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, that was bad. Well, he can't beat. He's 1-7 now against Bama.
He did respond, well, what is everyone else's record?
No, that's when I knew they beat. Right. It's in his head now.
Right. It is in his head. Keith is first up. Keith, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned the cost of 5-0 Vanderbilt football is the Ravens having the worst defense in NFL history.
Congratulations.
And being 1-3.
Yeah.
And you lost your quarterback. So, good.
The Raven
We're praying on everyone's downfall for you, Keith.
We don't know that they lost their quarterback. We just know that he was hurt.
Well, he had to come out of a game.
That's but they were getting their ass kicked.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody put on. It looks like he quit because he didn't go in the tent. He didn't. The trainers weren't around him.
I didn't think about that. He just sat down
on the bench.
Now, he did have, like, some type of towel wrapped under his hamstring. I don't know if there was an ice pack in there or something warming or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, he just sat down. I'm done here.
Well, if that's the case, then he's playing. Then we'll know it's just a can of Quiddy opened up. Because if he had a hamstring injury that caused him to leave the game, when's the last time anyone hurt a hamstring 1 week and played the next week? It doesn't happen. So if he plays this week, that means he just opened up a can of Quiddy.
You literally
don't play the next week with hamstring injuries.
We move to Tongue Dart Chris.
What'd you learn this weekend?
I learned the more that I help my wife around the house without being asked, the more opportunity I'm going to get to enter her secret tunnel of love.
Oh, we can't say that. One of the secrets, though.
What's so secret about it?
Well, the secret is that if you help around the house.
No, not that. That's not a secret either, by the way.
They do. Those people find that sexy.
It's not a secret. No. I'm just saying he called something a secret.
I
don't know what that's about. All right, we move to Pena. Pena, what did you learn?
Hey, I learned this weekend that 2 weeks my fantasy football team that took my losing CeeDee Lamb and Malik Neighbors.
I didn't understand anything.
CeeDee Lamb and Malik Neighbors.
He lost Malik Neighbors and CeeDee
Lamb. So his strategy was get the two best receivers I can up front. He's lost them both.
Yeah, that's a shame.
CeeDee will be back. Malik will not be back.
Torn ACL if you missed it.
I'm convinced, Lance, you're the jinx on him.
Why?
You drafted him.
How do I jinx him? Blame it on Brian Daboll. Jackson Dart. By the way, Jackson Dart got a win. I think he threw for like 70 yards.
Jalen Hurts got a win. Didn't throw for a yard in the second half. Didn't complete a ball in the second half.
Yeah. How about A.J. Brown? Who's next, Del?
We go to Tony from Friendswood. What'd you learn?
Yeah, I learned this weekend that it doesn't matter if you're 6'2", 218 pounds, you will get jumped by the Lucky Charm game. And shout out my boy Cobra.
If you missed it, you know all the people worried about violence in Mexico City and Brazil with the NFL going there? Turns out Dublin, Ireland is what you should worry about.
Skyler
Thompson got jumped on Friday by robbers.
Yeah, he got. That's a bad look for the NFL, for Dublin.
Yeah.
You think the NFL likes it? One of their players got jumped and got his stuff stolen?
No, and of all places. Yeah. I mean, we were worried. Hey, don't send him to Brazil. Don't send Mexico City dangerous. The Dubliners got him. He was on injured reserve anyway, so he wasn't eligible to play, and he was with the team on yesterday. Yeah, but they took his chain, probably.
Yeah.
Got his chain snatched.
And NFL is not going to be happy about that.
No.
Dublin, if they find out who did this, they're going to crack some skulls.
The Vikings are in London for their next game. See if they do better than what they did against the Steelers. Let's go to Elliot. Elliot, what'd you learn?
Morning, guys. Piggybacking off the Dublin game, I learned that my Steelers needed the luck of the Irish to pull that off. They almost blew it.
Yeah.
If Jordan Addison doesn't get hawked down at the one to take more time off,
they might lose.
They might have lost that game.
There's a lot to talk. And I think another stupid decision based on analytics where Aaron Rodgers and the team convinced Mike Tomlin to go for it on a 4th-and-3 by the goal line. He didn't get it. Or 4th-and-2. They didn't get it. Instead of taking the points and making it a 6-point game, because a 6-point game means you can't, like, it was about two scores. I'm sorry, it would have been a 13-point game. They had a chance to make it a 13-point game, and Greg Olson's like, guys, you got to go for this. It's a 2-point game already. If you score another field goal, it's still a two-possession game. Well, there's a big difference between 10-point two-possession game and 13-point two-possession game. A 10-point, all you need is a touchdown, a field goal. And frankly, If in today's day and age where they're kicking 65-yard field goals on the regular, 57 is nothing anymore. 57 is punk-ass kicks. Whoa. That's nothing.
All right.
A 57-yard field goal is nothing. Unless you're trying to win a
game. I mean, every week now we had another one with the Raiders yesterday.
I know, it'll get blocked. But my point is that you can't just – like, it was stupid to me to just settle – No, right. We'll go for it because it's a two-possession game either way. Whatever, dumb analytics dummies.
Okay,
let's. Right. I'm a numbers guy telling you this, okay, too.
Yeah, all right. Numbers all guy. Right. We'll get to that in the next hour. Let's move to Ocho. Ocho, what'd you learn?
Yeah, I learned that Aaron Judge is the first player to hit 20 first-inning home runs in a single season.
That's
20. A lot. That's a lot of his home, a high percentage
That's
of his
good,
homers.
Too, because Holy it jumps crap. Out. You jump out to the lead.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to guys who, you know, hit meaningless homers, you know, late in games that are blowouts. That's a good stat. That's nice. I learned, first time since 2005, we had no hitters in the big leagues. Zero. What? Who's next, Del?
Weren't we like a pitch away from a perfect game,
and then they lost the game.
The Dodgers, or something. Yeah. Let's go to Chris from the North Side. What'd you learn?
Hey, good morning, guys. So this weekend I learned that the NFL thought the Texans and Titans game would be so boo-boo that they assigned the game to the female-led TV broadcast.
Yeah.
And the NFL was right.
It was.
If we're going by his logic, they were right.
Were they wrong? Find the lie.
Let's move to Beth Mullen's catching it. Let's move to Jonathan. What'd you learn?
Hey, what's up, guys? I learned that I'm going to really lose my S if Colin Morikawa is on the team next year, since he's the only one that didn't hit on my 8-leg parlay.
Oh no! Wow.
Eight leg parlay.
Colin Morikawa.
Boy, he stunk.
Yeah, he's not been good. I don't know. Don't get me started on all the guys that sucked this weekend, and especially Scottie Scheffler. Goodness gracious!
How did that happen?
It's just awful. He was awful. Who's next, Al?
Let's go to our final call. Tom, what'd you learn?
Morning, gentlemen. I learned that the appropriate nickname for Dallas Cowboy fans is Brony.
Brony.
If you don't know,
isn't Jeb Brony?
No. Jeb. If you don't know what a Brony is, it's a man generally who gets turned on by My Little Pony.
What? Where do you learn these things, Del?
This came up on.
Where did Tom learn it?
This came up like years ago. I don't know if Raheel and I did a segment on it or whatever, but this came up years ago.
This feels like something Raheel would know and bring to the table. Actually,
Brony.
My Little Pony turns men on.
I don't know if you know this, Sean. A lot of things turn men on. My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Man, Rainbow Sparkle, or whatever her name that horse's name is, whatever it is.
Have you not seen what the OnlyFans stuff? Like how little it takes to make a bunch of money for a woman. Yeah, they just have to take pictures of a toenail.
That's a woman. It's not a cartoon horse.
Well, I just figure.
There's a whole film on it. The extremely unexpected adult fans of My Little Pony. It's Brony. And then the subtitle is what I just read. That came out in 2012.
Man, wow. Fetishes are a crazy thing.
Well, and that's what cowboy fans are?
What? That's what he said. Yeah, that's what he said. Mm-hmm. He said what he said.
I get it. I get that. I get the correlation there.
Mm-hmm. And these guys look exactly like how you would expect them to look.
Well done. As always, y'all are great. We'll do it again on Friday, but you got to keep on listening to the show and pick up what did you learn this week on the show. And that was brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. Thank you, Game Day Men's Health. That's where you get your testosterone on. You're looking for a great way to get your testosterone levels right. GameDayMen'sHealth.com. GameDayMen'sHealth.com. Time to talk hoops. Pro dump. Time to talk about the best damn goal ever. Time to talk about your kids. Okay? Not great athletes. I'm sorry. But for the majority of our kids are just not great athletes. So how are they going to get a ball up to a 10-foot goal? And that 10-foot goal, it's got sand in the base. And it shakes. And the kids all hate it. And it's awful. They can't play. They can't enjoy it. You're looking for the best way to get your kids to enjoy a goal, to enjoy basketball. It's a pro dunk goal in your front yard, backyard, wherever. The kids will love it because you can raise and lower the goal with a push of a button. And it goes up and down. I mean, it's so easy. And your kids are not good enough to play on a 10-foot goal, but they want to have fun, Dad. So get them the pro dunk goal, which is the best goal, best made, best installed, best everything. You're looking for the best, best, best. It's ProDunk.com. Tell Keith Tate that you heard it right here. We had one. Loved it. You'll love it. ProDunk.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.